Yeah, welcome to Sheena's cat. I've got a dog snuggled up behind me, or he was, just disappeared. Very cool. Let's kind of get here. Let's take a moment to get here. Yeah. So you may want to close your eyes if that feels good to you. Just feel your feet on the floor. Just bring your attention to your breath. Just take a couple of deep breaths. Just let yourself know where you are. Just notice any places of tension or discomfort, any clenching or holding. Just invite those parts of you to relax. Just know you're safe. You're taking this time for you and to connect with all of us. We're all so glad you are here. And something that might be nice to do is maybe imagine a much younger version of you, little you, maybe 6, 7, 8, 9 childhood years. Just bring to mind that younger you. Imagine that she might be sitting next to you. Just take in her energy. Notice her cheeks, her sweet, sweet cheeks, and her little body, everything that's ahead of her. Everything you do to take care of her. If there's anything you'd like to say to her, just kind of offer that to her in your mind. You may want to take her hands or give her a cuddle. Just let her know whatever you'd like to say to this younger version of you. What might she have needed to hear? Just notice your little face lighting up hearing this from you. Through the magic of time travel and imagination. When you're ready, just give her a squeeze. Your toes a wiggle. And come back to sleep. What was that? Yeah, we forget that we've got these little beings inside of us the whole time. Yeah. Feel free to share anything that came up, if anything did. Just unmute yourself and share.
Yeah, I've been doing a lot of inner child work lately, and you know, you hear about it and you're like, okay, that's cool. And I've done a few meditations in the past and stuff, but I've really never fully gotten the gravity of really being able to pull the roots out of funky things. Yeah. In my life, or just, you know, as we talk about the protector a lot, really needing to go back and trace things back and embody, you know, myself as a child and feeling feelings at different significant points that happened, and, you know, being witness to that, and then having healthy adult me present speak into it. It's pretty huge. And my therapist is like, yeah, you need to check in with her daily for the rest of your life. Like, on the day you die, you need to check in with her. Like, this is it. I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Kind of huge, kind of little, kind of huge.
You know, I love that you're sharing this, because I think you're absolutely right, Livia and Sheena. Yeah, that sense of quite emotional, isn't it? Like, to connect to that little you, especially if you're tired. Like, I think everything just feels emotional when you're a bit tired, if you're anything like me. But yeah, there's something quite, there's a sort of sweetness and a simplicity to just that check-in. It can be profound. You know, just even the 5 minutes of, how are you doing today? What do you need? How are you feeling? Just that check-in. It's even more profound, I think, for those of us who didn't really have anyone checking in on us when we were that age. And we kind of forget that we're allowed to ask for that, right? Which plays into all kinds of aspects of our self-doubt and our sense of protection and all of that, you know? And so I love that you have these responses, because it's like, oh, that little part of you is there the whole time, watching, checking stuff out. We talk a little bit in the program about having different parts, different aspects of ourselves. And I think one of the sweetest aspects of that, you know, the kind of like who's on the bus with us, is to make sure, you know, your little parts have got a kind of good view up the front of the bus. that can be really lovely, and it's healing. You know, there's a lot of talk about inner child work and what it actually involves and all of that jazz. And all I would say is, nothing bad can ever come from checking in on yourself. How are you feeling today? What do you need? Just letting that kid get some attention. It's just nothing bad that can come from it. And when it's ignored, it'll behave like a 9-year-old who's being ignored. It'll be like, this sucks. And you'll find yourself having an irrational tantrum. Over all kinds of things, right? And sometimes, you know, that can be really freeing. And sometimes it's like, whoa, why am I doing this? You know? Yeah. You may even want to think about this week, what's some things you could do to just let that little part of you have some playtime? Do something fun with your little kid. What did you like to do when you were that age? So this is the thing I try to do, is lie on the grass in the park and stare at the clouds. That was my, like, just leave me to daydream under a tree, and I was a happy kid. Didn't need to be doing anything. I was an awkward player and an awkward hangout with group people. But lying in the grass, looking at the clouds, so lush. It almost gives me vertigo when it's like looking at the sea, you know, it's like so big, you can't quite conceive of it. So yeah, I love that, Kate. Yeah, some photos of little you from your parents on your desk.
It's very 90s. Oh, I've got a blurred background, but yeah, like very 90s fashion and cars. Nice. And talking about even group, there's one of me and my cousins, and everyone's like smiling and in fancy dress, and I just look the grumpiest.
Love it. Love it. Fancy dress, what were we thinking? Yeah. But it's a really lush thing to do. Just maybe find a photo of you if you have it. I have the most awkward photo of me, and I think about 2, and I'm wearing a nappy, and I have the most giant green velvet camel toe. I can't even tell you, it's like the only thing you can see in the photo. But so I kind of love that photo of me because it's like, yep, killing it fashion wise since 1973. Yeah. But I think there's some real sweet tenderness that you can offer yourself, even when the photos are a bit awkward and you're a bit like, you know, this is not my favorite look. Right. Yeah, really cool. Really cool. So yeah, that can be kind of a fun thing to do. And I think as well, you know, allowing space for those little younger parts of us. Particularly when, you know, we are in this place, particularly in this work, you know, where it's like, okay, where is my healthy adult self in this? You know, how do I want to approach this in a way that feels, you know, adult? It's like, oh, sometimes, you know, we need the kid there too, you know. Hey, Lorna, nice to see you. Yeah, we've just been playing with our younger selves. Yeah, I love that, Mary. Yeah. Around boundaries. Yeah. I had an experience last week I'll just share with you. And please, if you do want some coaching today, just put your name in the chat. But this kind of tie up these two themes of the boundaries that we've been playing with in module 6 or 7 that we're up to, maybe even 8. That we're up to in the coaching circles around self-worth and the little kid. So I just want to preface this by saying I'm fine, but last Wednesday I spent the evening at A&E because I was having some chest pains, which have turned out to be a bit of a lung infection that is being managed fine. I was completely in denial that I was in pain. I was like, well, this is inconvenient because I'm home alone and who's going to look after Bodhi and blah. So I'd almost talked myself out of it. And my friend visited and said, I'm just going to call 111, which is our like a phone service for medical support in the UK, where we have a free health service for those of you in the States. And they assessed me and said, yeah, we want you to go down to A&E. You've got a history of heart stuff. And as soon as, so Phil, my friend, came with me. And as soon as we walked into A&E, I could feel myself wanting to just kind of shut down and take up no space. And it was like, I do not want to freaking be here. And I noticed that I was just making jokes about it. Like, right, let's manifest a 90-minute visit. That never happens, right? Because the NHS is amazing and free, but it's slow and under-resourced. I was there until 1 in the morning and there was a lot for me going on around having my body touched without being able to say no. So the boundary of being touched and how invasive that feels. And also I know it's for my in my best interest. So I hear my parents' voice, right? This is for you. And Phil, my friend, just kind of, who's Australian and very straightforward, she just said to me, oh, of course that would fucking suck. Like, you've had your body touched by medical professionals since you were a newborn when you could not give consent. And it was like this realization, little me never got to say no. Ever. So of course now I'm like, well, I can see that rationally, you know, it's a very good thing that this is all happening, but there's a little me in there who's going, no, I don't want this, this hurts, or this is uncomfortable, or it's scary, or all of that. So there were a few moments on Wednesday night with Phil where I was just like, oh my God, little me is not happy, you know, and she was just making that space and we were kind of in humor with it all, but also recognizing that, geez, hospitals can be triggering places for stuff like that, you know, and it just, yeah, really brought up for me how young and, you know, often pre-verbally we are processing what's okay and what's not okay is it okay for me to say, no, this is too much, or this hurts, even though I know it's for my benefit? All of that stuff was just very, very present for me. So I've been thinking a lot, and I really share that sentiment, Mary, about, you know, protecting that little self that never got to say no, never got to say, actually, this is not okay. Yeah, it was really kind of top of mind for me. So I just want to share that, like, you know, you may be thinking about these things as we kind of, if you're attending the coaching circles and looking at boundaries, you've been thinking about it now, what your little self was not allowed to say no to, or didn't feel able to say no. Hey, Kate.
Hey, I just, like, over the last year, I've had some hospital little me kind of revelations as well that I thought I would share to add to that. And I'd sort of missed it because it wasn't me it happened to. Like, my sister was the one always in and out of hospital. But what I realised when going to A&E quite a lot because of my husband's health problems and how triggering that was, that, like, nobody told me what was happening. So, like, ambulance would arrive, take my sister away, you know, and because I was deemed too young, everyone just pretended things were normal. And I had this real flashback to this just sense of dread all the time, because obviously I knew something horrible was happening, but, like, everyone was just pretending to me it wasn't. And it was like, yeah, obviously. And I guess even before my sister, my mum had preeclampsia when my sister was born. So she was rushed into hospital and almost died. And I was 2, so I was deemed too young to understand. But I just, like, went and lived with my grandparents for a couple of weeks. And I think, yeah, like, on some level, there's still that just horrible things are happening in the hospital, but I don't understand. That just, like, comes up whenever I'm in one. And I'm trying to give my younger self, yeah, like, the compassion that, I mean, all the adults in my life thought they were doing the best by not telling me anything. But I can see now that actually what I would have appreciated more was a bit of explanation and reassurance, I think. So I make sure and offer myself that in a sort of over the top way whenever I'm in a hospital now. Yeah,
I'm so with you, you know, and that extended in our family to protecting the kids from anything, basically. Like, there was a lot of secrets and unspoken stuff in our house, and so, you know, for a long time I was like, why am I so like kind of a dog with a bone about getting to the truth of things? Oh, it's that, because actually it feels really, like you say, like, it's quite discombobulating to know something is going on, but everyone's pretending like it's not, you know. So I love that you're giving yourself that compassion and telling yourself the truth. And yeah, I think just making that connection has been really important for me around saying, oh, can you just tell me exactly what's happening here? Because that will really help me to kind of prepare and manage myself. You know, I get, when I know what's going on, then I get to do that. And it doesn't actually matter to me if it's good or bad news or whatever. I don't need to be protected from that, but I don't like the sense of secrecy. That doesn't feel good to me. So you may relate to that, right? Body acceptance stuff. Yes. So we're doing this in November the 6th. There's going to be another embodiment workshop. So if anyone wants to fly over, drive down, come hang out for the day. Me and my friend Phil. Phil is Professor of Appearance Research, Professor of Psychology at the Center of Appearance Research. And we're creating a little program that you guys will all get around this stuff. She's a world leading expert in this kind of stuff. They may even just get her to come and do a session. Yeah, please come, Lorna. Bring a friend. Get a discount if you bring a friend. I would love to hug you in person. So yeah, first Friday in November. Come on and play. So I guess what we are talking about with body acceptance stuff is, you know, all the ways that we're told that that you are not supposed to accept your body, right? Like, if you just think about all of the messages we get day by day. And I did a little investigation into this around Instagram ads, because I don't know if you've ever bought anything on an Instagram ad, but then they go, oh, great, you like hair oil for curly hair? Let's send you 8,000 different ads for different hair oil that you can use in your curly hair. It's like the algorithm is a, you know, it's like a one-shot pony. It doesn't really think, I've already bought the hair oil, so I probably don't need 8,000 more. But if you think about every aspect of our bodies is mediated through capitalism, right? Every single aspect of our bodies is mediated through capitalism. It's a problem to be solved. It's too big, it's too hairy. Your hair's too frizzy, or it's the wrong color, right? Your clothes need to look a certain way. You should or shouldn't do this or that. Every single aspect of our bodies. And what can happen is that becomes the water we're swimming in. So, you know, when Phil and I turn around and say, so how is that water? It's like, what's water? This is just life, right? This is just the world. And so one of the messages we're really keen to kind of offer is how you can mediate your own acceptance of your body or not, right? Because you may want to change your body. That's totally fine. Kate changes her hair all the time and we love it, right? We love it. That's perfect. So this is the thing, right? Body acceptance to me isn't about, because I think what can happen is we get into the, am I body positive? Am I body neutral? Am I body blah, 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 blah. And it just becomes another stick to beat ourselves up with, because then it's like, well, what am I and what language do I use and all this? And I think to me, your body is your home. Like it is the place of all of your memories, all of your dreams. It's the only house you'll ever live in. It's a constant companion with you. And you can imagine, right? If you are your body and you're hanging out with you and you're thinking about what it's like to be on the receiving end of that relationship, what is that like for your body? You know, is it a good friendship? Is it a kind of sense of being a team? Or is it a feeling of being judged and ignored and criticized and, you know, managed? So I don't know, if you were thinking about your relationship with your body now, what words would you use to describe it? Maybe just think about that for yourself. Feel free to share in the chat or just unmute yourself and say it out loud. But yeah, how would you describe your relationship with your body now? Yes, Kate, I love that. Just talking about the ads thing. Alternative looks are also marketed, right? Like, you need this tattoo cream. I always get that. You need the tattoo cream that makes your tattoos pop. You know, you can't possibly just have a tattoo, right? It's got to pop. But yeah, hair colors, haircuts, punk clothes, all of that kind of stuff. It's like exactly what you say. Are you rejecting the norm enough in the right way, right? Because then we can sell you something in order to do that. So I think that's the thing to remember, is that always behind these things, it's not for altruistic reasons. We just want you to look amazing, right? No matter what the ad is saying. No, that's not why they're there. Otherwise, they'd just do that, right? No, they're there to sell something.
I'll say a couple words of my how I'm feeling about the body. And I just really encourage you. I would love to hear your voices. There's so few of us. I think if like we all unmute, there might not be feedback and then you could percolate. Yeah. Just a thought, encouraging you lovely people because you're amazing. But so I feel, you know, when there's like that loss of muscle mass at certain times, illnesses and whatnot, then just to be able to hold your body up is a strain. And so, yeah, so I just have this constant, like, it's funny, you know, they call it your core, and that's very symbolic in a lot of ways too, that I just been struggled with just having strength at my core. And then that ability to hold myself up, it's just, you know, it's disappointing, but yet I kind of avoid, I don't like to feel in my body. So then I don't like to strengthen it. So yeah. So that's kind of my little wiggly bit.
Love it.
I guess this week with unusually warm weather, or much warmer than it had been before in the UK, and I didn't do well in heat, so I'm just very aware of my body, because I'm like hot, I'm itchy, I get like rashes when I sit on grass or use the wrong kind of sun cream, like seasonal allergies, headaches because of the heat. So I'm just feeling a bit like grumpy about my body existing, but that's very, it's interesting that that's weather dependent, I think.
Yeah, having grown up in 1970s and 80s in New Zealand, where you basically lived outside for 6 months, 7 months of the year, as an inside bird, it's tough. Mary, I really appreciate that. Complicated with a long history of dysmorphia and restrictive eating. And mostly amazed by my body, especially during pregnancy and nursing. Appreciative of sustained good health throughout my life. If you're looking for a good podcast interview to listen to, highly recommend Julia Louis-Dreyfus's new podcast. I can't remember what it's called, but she's interviewing older women, and she has a conversation with Jane Fonda, who you may remember from the 80s, was a big proponent of, you know, jazzercise, that's the word I was looking for. And she talks about living in a body in her eighth decade and what that's like, which is fascinating. Yeah, Lorna, that's so interesting. I could quite happily hang my physical body up or try to forget I've got a body. It feels faulty. Yeah. And so I think that the key thing to just hold as possible here is that our relationships with our bodies are never really owned by us. They're always mediated by other parties. Right, if other people have always had a say, be that our parents or our school friends, and then the media, partners, etc. And as we go through different life stages, we'll have different relationships with our bodies based on different needs and what have you. So just starting, that's interesting, right? Only started to like my body when my boyfriend did. Yeah. I've heard that from a lot of friends of all sexual orientations, right? So a friend of mine who is in a bigger body and her gay partner is like, oh, you're a freaking goddess. And this relationship is so damn healthy because her partner is completely into her physically. Like there is a huge amount of desire there. And so it's like, oh, I've forgotten what that feels like to be desired, right? Which is never restrictive of size or age or anything, right? It's like totally in the eye of the beholder. But so many of us forget that our relationship with our body, even though it's probably the most constant and personal relationship we'll ever have. It never quite belongs wholly to us. It has always been mediated through other people's opinions and views, which is horrifying, really. And so when it comes to body acceptance, which to me is about accepting this is the body I'm in, right? So that's the first step. But this is my body. I am here in this body with all of the scars and bruises and that weird bruise, I don't even know how I got, with all of our bits and bobs, right? The parts we quite like about our bodies, the parts we want to change, the bits we find quite hard to maybe look at or hold, right? All of those aspects of our bodies are here. This is the reality. And so can you be with that? And a really lush exercise can be to just spend some time either touching or viewing your own body, which can sometimes feel quite confronting, but you may want to do it in stages. Like you may just want to, like, you know, spend a couple of days when you're maybe rubbing in lotion in the mornings, like really hold yourself and touch yourself as you do that. Notice, oh, this is my arm. There's no other arm in the world that looks like this. This only belongs to me, right? It's just a way of kind of coming back to that, making that relationship something that you are mediating with yourself. So I think that is a really key part. And I'm wondering, Livia, because you asked this question at the start, that kind of has something in there for you. Just being in your body. Can I be in this body? And starting to, the only diet I recommend you go on is a media diet, where you actually, because you can on social media block ads, just say this is irrelevant. And actually all the curly hair oil ads tend to go away, right? So only follow people on social media who actually, if this is a thing for you, who actually help you to feel good about your own body. There's a ton of research that Philip has been involved in around what happens to our own self-concept when we view bodies that look like ours. It's like we kind of start to see, oh, that's what bodies look like. So we have this lovely healing experience where it's amazing. I'm seeing a body that looks like mine, or I'm seeing a body that has the same things my body has. Then we kind of get out of that comparison loop. There are some really cool body image or body diversity focused accounts on social media. I know Girl Gaze, so Girl Gaze, all one word, is a really good one. So you could start there and then just see who they follow, who they share. They share lots of artistic photos, really broad, diverse range of folks. And it's like, oh yeah, that's what bodies look like. And then some of them are like really fantastically artistic or a bit punk for Kate. And they're big and they're also small and they're just so, there's just such a variety that you start to see, oh, this very singular image of an ideal body that we're fed, which is quite dull, right? It's not particularly interesting to most of us. It's a kind of 15-year-old boy's fantasy of a girl, of a woman. That actually, that is such a tiny, minute proportion of what bodies actually look like. So the research suggests that as we curate the bodies that we look at and surround ourselves with, we do start to change our judgments around what is a good body. So I'd highly recommend that process of actually being quite consciously in your body, right? And when you're thinking about the influences outside of you, who do you want those to be? Are they good for you? What's inspiring for you? Some of you may know I started weightlifting a couple of months ago because I really do want to get strong. I feel like turning 50 in a few months, and it just feels like, yeah, I'm kind of interested in building up my lean muscle mass. I think that's going to be really supportive in my next kind of phase of life. And it's been hilarious to go to a gym. It's very urban, lots of young black men who are stunning and have that very, you know, the very easy confidence of young men who nothing bad has happened to. They're just like, sweet, I am amazing. Being surrounded by those folks is awesome. And everybody's just in the gym lifting. There's no cardio equipment because that's kind of pointless. It's very much about strength and what that looks and feels like. And I meet with a trainer, so I'm not in there faffing about with, you know, the pink weights. I'm actually in there lifting something that's quite heavy. And it's fascinating to me how my view of my body and what I'm capable of is changing. So yeah, it doesn't take very much to just start to curate our relationships with our body. Yeah, Lorna, I know. Made the mistake of clicking on a swimsuit. And now you get ads for all of those modeled by slim women. Yeah. And you can just go, okay, this is irrelevant. And you can look for the kinds of swimsuits that you actually want. And then you start seeing, like, there's a company that's actually, I think it's based in Gloucestershire, called Deacon Blue. And they do more full figure swimsuits. And they're also, I think, made from recycled plastics, stuff like that. So it's like, oh, you know, that's the kind of swimsuit I'm after. So I imagine that that kind of resonates. But yeah, and so, oh, yeah, I'm quite happy to see those ads because they are for, you know, a range of sizes. Yeah. Amazing. How are we doing on body image? Does that feel like a good place to start? Yeah. Start playing with accepting where you are, curating what's coming in, and seeing how that feels after a while. Yeah. I'll have a chat to Phil because I think we should do a special class on this.
A special class would be amazing.
Yeah.
And I think you know, your tips, I've written them down to getting started. And then I think ultimately, like, kind of having a new goal of, I just want to increase capacities, you know, yes, that my body is, that I do have a true appreciation because it allows me to do more. So I like the image of strengthening or being able to walk a good while. Yeah. I know I've carefully gotten some bouncier walking shoes, and that makes walking much more of a pleasure, easier on the joints and stuff. But
yeah,
it's good stuff. Would love to hear more.
Okay, Fab. Consider it done. I'll rope her in. Anything for you, Lavette. All good. Hey, anyone else bringing anything today you want to chat about? Anyone need some support on anything, or have questions on anything, or have had some self-doubt come up this week? Okay, that might be us. Well, We'll be back next week. I will report back from Phil. I'll go and WhatsApp her, and we'll get something in the calendar to chat through, because I think this is one of those lovely universal things that can be super helpful. Yeah, Mary.
I just wanted to say that when it was decided, we all decided that we needed to go through this process a second time. I'll be honest, I was disappointed. I'm like, no, I want full steam ahead. I want the next whatever is coming. There are going to be special workshops on this, that, and the other thing. I said, no. Hit the accelerator. And I want to say I was so wrong. I am so appreciative that we're going through this a second time. I really need to I'm really appreciating that I'm getting into these deeper layers as I revisit this a second time. And much as I want to think, okay, I did this, I did that, I accomplished this third day goal, I'm doing this, this is great, things have changed. Then I go to the coaching session yesterday and talk about the boundaries. And wow, it's like there's another layer of critic and unworthiness and feeling unworthy that is presenting itself and offering yet another layer of healing. Which if we didn't, we're going through this a second time, who knows when that would happen. So I want to say that I'm very grateful, even though I'm like, oh, shit. You know, really? But I just want to say I'm really appreciative and very grateful. Thank you.
You're so, so welcome, Mary. And I so appreciate your candidness, because I'm with you, right? It's like, oh, shit, this is still here. Of course it's here. What I want you to notice is, rather than thinking about progression or evolution or growth or whatever as a straight line, I always have in my mind the image of a labyrinth, right? Mm. And if you've ever seen a labyrinth or walked a labyrinth, you'll know that you can sort of get disoriented often when you're walking. It is designed as a walking meditation where all you do is put one foot in front of the other. So it's not like a maze. It's not designed to trick you. It is a pattern that you're walking. But you do go back on yourself. You do find yourself in a similar spot. But always know that you are in a different place, even when you are looking at a similar issue or something that feels quite familiar, that you have kept walking ahead. Mm. And you now have more resources to be able to look at this maybe differently or in a more expanded way. You can remember yourself to look, remind yourself to go, oh, hang on, how do I feel about this? Like, is there a part of me that I'm, you know, trying to get off the bus and leave behind here? Or am I bringing my whole self with me? You know, what is the protector that's trying to lead the way? Right. So the idea is that, well, like my hope is that you continue this labyrinth walk for many, many years to come, right? Because that is your life. But that whatever you meet along the way, you feel increasingly more resourced to be able to take care of you in a way that feels good to you. That doesn't leave you feeling like, I can't actually cope with this.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that for me, I'm sorry, I'm so off, but it's been the gift of self-belief school is gathering those resources.
Yeah. And, you know, having witnessed your journey, it is just like for me, it's my catnip to see just how differently I see you talking to yourself these days. There is so much more softness and lightness to you. And the way you describe how you are showing up in your life, what's different, what's changing. And I just think about, you know, all of the things that we've kind of, you know, seen you do over the last almost year, right? Really big, brave moves, you know, really advocating for you and for little Mary. That to me feels like a freaking win. So, yeah.
And can I just say, Mary, maybe this is the last way you feel, but you look more luminous. Like there is just more of a shine to you. And I don't know if that's, I know vulnerability can feel awful, but that authenticity that shines through is just fucking magic. And so you just got that on you now, and it's, or you're releasing it now, and it's gorgeous and yay.
Right. I think that's the thing, is I'm so appreciative of this group particularly, is the willingness to be known in your self-doubt, right? Like everyone shows up here on a Wednesday and it's like, okay, what's going on? What's happening? I never quite know where these sessions are going to go. But there is a sense for me of realness that I so appreciate. And, you know, that's my favorite part of this program, is seeing this integration period where you're playing with these things and meeting your life and making bold moves and buying motherships and kicking your kids out of home and all of this stuff, right? It's like amazing, amazing. And, you know, this is the stuff of meaning and joy. Yeah. And some days it's like, ugh, oh, I'm just here and I don't want to be, and nothing feels great. I'm itchy and it's too hot and I'm emotional and tired and blah. And hopefully, yeah, you know, you leave here going, yeah, but I'm not alone in my itchy, tired, hot, grumpy, shitty self. I'm not alone in that.
I mean, honestly, I think the biggest transformation for me is just like being able to name that I'm feeling that, and offer myself some compassion, I guess. I feel like sometimes I feel I've less, I mean, hair color aside, I've had less like bold moves or life changes. But since I've started self-belief school, I used to have fairly regular panic attacks, and I think I had like one in September, and I just haven't. And that, like, has worked better than anything the NHS has offered me, is that actually just this like self-compassion and not letting myself spiral to the point where I can't breathe. So it's just like being here and hearing everybody else, like, yeah, like showing themselves that compassion, and kind of the way you talk to us, Sass, is like changed my brain, I think, is like how I talk to myself now, and it's been transformational.
I'm so glad. Yeah. Yeah, I think that's the thing, isn't it? Can you talk to yourself nicely, kindly? Lorna?
Yeah. It's funny because I'm kind of, well, I don't know. I just feel as though I'm in the messy middle of it, and it keeps taking tiny steps forward and then just turn around and think, I don't know. I don't know anything about anything. And I think, you know, talking about your younger self and all the pressure to be, I don't know, somebody. And I feel I'm now connecting back up with that younger self before I put all the coping mechanisms in place. But it does feel as though I've peeled away to kind of just don't know who I am. who I don't want to be. But
and it sounds like today is a tough day for various reasons. Like you kind of see.
No, it's just a day.
It's just a day. Okay.
Just it's okay. Just if I dare to think about it.
Yeah.
That's how. Thanks, Kate.
Yeah. So there's a sense of not quite knowing who you are.
I suppose it's connecting with the kind of the reality of me, that, you know, kind of sharing the bit of me that quite likes to be outside. The, you know, I don't want to go out, I don't want to go drinking, I don't want to be in crowds. I like making things. I could do that all day. I don't want a big circle of friends. I'm quite happy to have just a handful. Do you know, it's that kind of, that from an early age, I've tried to hide that I'm dyslexic and I can't remember. So friendships are hard because I can't remember what we talked about last time we met. You know, not, it's all of that kind of taking that, and that's a bit I need to bring forward. But it feels really... I go out, you know, I see friends, I think, well, what do I do? I don't want to take that protector with me. But then what do I take? Do I take this very quiet, reserved, you know, just quite reflective person? But that's not who they're friends with. They're friends with the person who puts on a kind of a front.
I love about what you just said so much is that you do know yourself.
I suppose I know myself and I don't want to know myself. Yeah.
Right? Like it sounds like it's, which is important, right? Oh, actually I'm super creative. I could do that all day. And I'm reflective and quiet and don't need a big group of friends, don't really want to go out drinking. So you know both who you are and who you are not. There's something about owning that might be where the tension is.
Yeah.
Because that sounds to me like my ideal human, right? A creative, thoughtful person. Hello, I'm there. Put the kettle on. Yeah. Yeah.
It doesn't quite fit. Yeah.
Well, what doesn't it fit?
I suppose what society expects, wants.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Society loves a freaking extrovert, someone who's super out there and wants to be bigger and better and more. That does not make you wrong. I'd love to give you an invitation for some homework, just if you feel like it. And you may want to do this by voice note or by writing it down. You may even want to create something, right? So please don't feel like there's a rule here. But I'd love you to kind of go through and name for yourself all the things that you actually are, who you really are. Just naming that for yourself, because I think actually if you list all those amazing qualities, you'd probably be like, oh, that's the kind of person I want to be friends with too.
Yeah. I suppose it's that feeling of wanting to be on my own and quite happy in my own company, but not wanting to, but needing it. I suppose that sense of rejection and that conflict of acceptance, but I suppose I need to accept myself, don't I, before
I was just gonna say, like, I wouldn't worry too much about other people's opinions just yet, right? Like, get into who are you? Like, what are all the parts of you that are on your bus, right? Because when you can own that, it makes it so much easier eventually, right, to share that and to find like-minded souls, because you kind of know what you're looking for. But if you can accept and like your own company, that to me is the jackpot. Like, there are so many here. I think most humans find it almost impossible to be in their own company. We are looking for any distraction. Some folks just find it excruciating to be on their own. It's where all of our stuff comes up. So that you enjoy that that's actually your preference, is a huge gift.
Yeah, I think it's just the chatter saying, you should be out there, you should be doing this, you should be that kind of constant judging of myself that,
yeah,
is exhausting.
Yeah. And I think that's why it might help to just clarify for yourself, what are all the qualities you have? And I think having that in some kind of list can be helpful, because it sort of takes it out of you so you can look at it, right? But then you can start to go, well, is there any aspect here that I want to change or I wish was different? Because you may find you actually quite like who you are, and you know who you are. And then you get better at solving the right problem, right? Which might be, who's the voice that's telling me that I should be different? And how much access do I want them to have to my heart? Because you don't have to make yourself wrong for being you. Your job is to like you for who you are. How does that feel for you, Lorna? Just to kind of claim that for yourself.
Yeah. I think it's just that piece of work, isn't it? That the easiest thing to do would be to settle back to doing how I've been operating. The strongest thing to do is to move forward. But it's that kind of middle ground that, you know, but it's creating time and space for me to be, you know, when I'm not mothering and I'm not working and I'm not all those other hats. I think it's just that time.
Who are you when you take all your hats off?
Yeah.
I think you may find that there is a gem of a person in there. So try that out before you bring in other people and taking care of, you know, how they receive you. Get back in touch with who you are underneath everything. And because my sense is somehow you're making that wrong based on what other people are, either imagine what you imagine they're thinking and saying or what they are. In either scenario, coming back to who you are and turning your attention and your care and your compassion inward is a way to make some more conscious choices about what, if anything, you want to do differently.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, that might help. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you.
And, you know, can I just also offer, Lorna, like a month or so ago, it was like, oh, the jumper just feels in knots. And if I pull on one thread, the whole thing unravels. And now we're in a different spot. You got a new kiln, right? Like things are expanding, like you're doing different things, you're trying stuff out, and you're getting curious about who you are.
Yeah, it definitely feels, I feel shifts, and interesting what Kate was saying about, you know, panic attacks and things. I suppose it's similar with my migraines, that I do find myself taking care of myself sooner rather than letting it get to that point. So yeah, I suppose it's that uncomfortable shifting.
Look at you taking care of you. Amazing. So good. I'm fascinated to know more about who Lorna is when she takes all the hats off. Yeah.
Thank you.
You're so, so welcome. I'm glad we hung out a little longer. Yeah. All right, lovely humans. Take care of yourselves and your little selves. See if you can find something to do to consciously bring your little self into the world this week. Can be anything, really super silly. And you know, for those of you where body acceptance might be a thing, yeah, just spend some time like being in your own body and noticing that. Doesn't have to be for a long period of time, doesn't have to be particularly profound. It can just be that moment where you are, you know, putting on your face cream or your body cream or whatever you do, and do curate those voices. Yeah, amazing. All right, loves, I will see you next time. Take care, lots of love, stay hydrated. Okay. Bye, everyone.